Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This morning is where we'll be, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's good to see you all here this morning, and I'm glad that you're here, excited to be here, excited for the day. I was thinking yesterday, the last like 3 weeks has just been a sort of a whirlwind of stuff, hasn't it? It was just a week ago that it was Snowmageddon, and we were canceling services, and I mean, just a week, but look out here. It's 70 degrees and beautiful, and birds are chirping again and all that. Then we've had a lot of things. We had Easter and then all that kind of goes into that as a church. We've had, today is a send-off Sunday for Jared and Amanda, and which was supposed to be last week, and now it's this week, and then next week is Friends Sunday. And so it weather and other situations kind of compacted all this into a couple of weeks, and it just feels a little bit like we're living in a whirlwind, but we'll get it. We'll get through it, all right? And so I think after next week, we'll have maybe a couple of just those kind of weeks, and then we'll probably get back going again because there are, you know, summer's coming, and then we got all the summer stuff. But I'm telling you, when you're busy in the Lord's stuff, it's good. And so I've been enjoying it. I'm looking forward to the day. I want you to come back, obviously, every time for the afternoon, but please be here at 2 to hear Jared's going to be presenting the ministry. And it's such a unique work that they're going in and what they're doing, and you need to hear about it. It's very needed, and I think they're going to do, I'll tell you this, the Lord's going to use them in a special way. And we're excited to hear about it, get behind them as a church. And so that'll be at 2 o'clock. And then if you want to or you're able to, maybe you brought a dessert, or even if you didn't, there's probably plenty of desserts. But after that afternoon service, we're going to have that dessert fellowship. And so just a good day. Excited to be here. And all we need is like a volleyball net out there in the back, and we could really enjoy this weather. But maybe one of these days. All right. What's that? A kite. Yeah, that's true. It'd blow the volleyball to Menards if we try to play that. Okay, let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's another thing. Starting a new series. I forgot to mention, in the midst of these couple weeks, ladies retreat, men's man up conference. We just got back yesterday. I mean, it's been a whirlwind. And so you got a preacher this morning that's all fired up because he's been preached to all weekend at this man up conference. And which, by the way, in the morning service, we're going to have some of the guys that want to share a testimony from that man. It's not a retreat. I keep wanting to say retreat, but from the conference. And I believe that'll be a blessing. And just to share maybe what the Lord did or how he used the meeting. It was a very powerful meeting. Thankful that we were able to go. I'm also excited because we're starting a new series this morning in Sunday school. We're going to go through spiritual gifts here for the next several weeks. And I want you to understand that what we're doing in Sunday school, there's been a purpose to it. I mean, many, many moons ago, we started with building below the baseline. And so we started working on some of the foundational parts of the Christian life that we need to build. And we need to have a good foundation because what people see in us and what they see us do and how they see us live is one thing, but I hate to use the word fake, but we can fake some of those things. And really down deep, there's a lot messed up in our Christian walk. And so worked on for several weeks, building below the baseline, just building that relationship with God that really nobody sees. And then for the last several weeks, recently, we've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. And just so a natural next step is, how does the Holy Spirit work in our life? How does he help to build us? What is his job and duty? And how does he perform it in us and allow us to grow? And now we're going to look at spiritual gifts. And so this is kind of that natural third step to where now we're going to take what the Spirit does and put that stuff into action and service in the work of the Lord. When we talk about spiritual gifts, what we're talking about is how God has gifted each believer to be used of him and the gifts that he's given. And we should be exercising our gifts. We should be using the gifts he's given us to be a blessing, to reach other people, to build one another up. And so this will take a little while. So you got some notes there this morning. You also have a test. Now, who enjoys a good test? Oh, come on. Here's the thing about this test. First of all, don't worry about it right now. Don't even look at it. Well, you can do it when you get home. This test is, you can't fail it. If you fail it, I don't know what you did, because you can't fail it. It's impossible to fail it. It's more, we should really call it a spiritual gifts inventory is what we should call it. And basically, you're just going to need to answer those questions on there. And this is between you and the Lord. But I would encourage you to do this because I want you to know what God has gifted you with, what your spiritual gift is. Because if you know what your gift is, then you will know where you will need to serve in the local church. And a lot of people are frustrated in their service to the Lord because they're not serving along with their spiritual gift. They're serving somewhere else. If you put a, for example, if you put someone who is gifted in ministry and helps as a lead teacher somewhere in the church, they're going to be very nervous, very frustrated. At the same time, if you put someone who has the gift of teaching in the ministry of helps, which we all need to do, nothing's going to excuse us all from any type of service. I want you to understand that. We all are supposed to be involved in really all sorts of service and at times stretch ourselves. But God's gifted us each uniquely to serve in certain areas of the local church. And so once you find out that gift, you'll figure out, oh, this is kind of how God's made me. And this is how I can be effective in the ministry that God's given me is to use my spiritual gifts and to lean into those gifts. And it helps you to be content with your service. It also helps the church because obviously, God knows what he's doing, and he gives people gifts as he desires so that all the parts and pieces of the church sort of work. Let me say it like this. If we were all prophets, this wouldn't be a very good church. You say, well, how is that? Because the prophet is very different from, let's even say, the teacher or the exhorter. A prophet usually sometimes not very good exhorter. Sometimes they are. You'll also notice this. There's certain people in the church that you tend to click with and get along with. And there's other people that you're like, I just don't understand how they think. Can I tell you? It's because we're all gifted differently. And so when you start learning the differences, you'll learn to sort of appreciate those differences and to say, man, I'm glad they're that because I'm not. And we need it. And so God, he designed this church and he designed us and he gave us these gifts for a reason. So going to look at these spiritual gifts. I hope that it is a help. So the test that you have, I'm going to give you two tests. We're going to do one now and then we're going to do one at the end when I've preached through all the different gifts. We'll do a second test. You know, once you kind of understand all the different things that have to do with all the gifts, you may have a little bit more accurate assessment of your gifts. But basically, you're just going to go through there and it'll tell you something like, do you enjoy to be in charge of whatever? And if you don't, then you just be honest and say, I don't. Some of these, it's kind of like you feel guilty if you don't like it. In other words, there's going to be a question that says, I enjoy giving large amounts of money to the church. Some of you are going to go, well, I want to put a five, but I know truthfully that I can't put a five. Just be honest. This isn't, I'm not grading this. This is between you and the Lord. And at the end of the thing, you're going to add up all your numbers and it won't, it's not definitive, but it should give you some idea of how God's made you and your personality, perhaps some of the gifts that you have. And I think as we teach through these, you'll start to see, you're going to see some that you're like, that's not me. And you're going to see others that it's just going to be like a bell ringing, like that's me. And so I hope that it's a help. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And today is just an introduction to the spiritual gifts. And kind of we're going to clear up a little bit about the miraculous gifts or what the Bible calls the signs and wonders gifts. And I want to say also, this is a lot of this is pre-introduction. I want to say we could spend 2 or 3, 4 weeks dealing with those signs gifts. We're going to spend a few minutes because what I'm really trying to do is focus on the practical gifts, which are the ones that we actually do have and exercise today that can be a help to our ministry and to our church. But I do want to deal really quickly with the miraculous gifts and just pretty much let you know why we don't have to worry about. It's good to know about them, study them and things like that. But those gifts were given to certain people in certain times for certain reasons. And I'll I'll share that with you today. So now, I've told you to look at 1 Corinthians 12 like 8 times. We're actually going to read it this time. Okay, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So get this, what he's saying there. He's like, there's differences of administrations. There's differences of operations. There's diversities of gifts, but they're all by the same Spirit. So they all agree and work together to bring about the same result. And he's talking about these gifts that are given and the different jobs that are given to different people in the ministry. Verse 7, and this is blank number 1 on your outline. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So number 1 this morning, spiritual gifts are given to all believers at salvation. Let's just say a word of prayer here. Let's ask the Lord to bless in our lesson time, and then I'll get into this lesson. Lord, we do pray that you would just give us great clarity about your word here and what it says. And Father, just help us to be people of the word that just really read it to understand it and then to apply it. And I pray that over the course of the next several weeks that maybe there's some in here who've never really discovered or even thought about what spiritual gifts you have given them. And I pray that they discover those gifts and understand what you've done and how you've made them and the personality that you've given them and the strengths and even the weaknesses that they have so that they can more effectively serve you and happier serve you, Lord, for their own benefit and for the benefit of those they may reach and also for the benefit of this church. We just pray that even in a series like this, that you would do something very special here to help us to learn how to follow you personally. I pray for your help in teaching. And Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so spiritual gifts, you say, well, I'm not gifted. I hear that all the time. Well, I'm not gifted. If you're saved, you're gifted. That's what the Bible says. If you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit's a person. He comes in, he indwells you, he lives in you, he changes your life, he begins to change your actions and all of those things. But the Bible teaches us that the manifestation of the Spirit, in other places we'll see, the gifts of the Spirit are given to every man. Now, there are some gifts listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. If you'll look down to verse, well, let's just keep reading here. The gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are primarily what the Bible calls sign and wonder gifts or miraculous gifts. And so let's look at those. Verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. So those three are practical gifts. But now look at this one. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Let me just tell you, there are no true healers today on earth. I mean, there are. It's that some people set up tents and they do that. But if they could really heal, there would be a line around the globe and people would be lined up being healed. It's not happening. But the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. There are folks who claim to be able to do miracles today. The Bible would tell us otherwise. Okay, that's just the facts. To another, prophecy. Prophecy is interesting because prophecy is both a practical gift and a miraculous gift. So in the in earlier times, in different dispensations, and actually in a future dispensation, there were prophets who would actually say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then the words that they spoke were God's words. Moses did that. Right? Elijah did that. Guess what? We don't do that. You're never going to hear me say, "Now, I know you have your Bible, but God came to me last night in a vision, and he said this. And this, no one else knows this but me." Little old Jeremy Gilbert here figured something out that God did not include in the scriptures. It's not happening today. So that gift of prophecy. Now, there is a gift of the prophet where a prophet is one who now takes the revealed word of God, and can discern it well and then clearly preaches it. Okay, that's the gift of the prophet that we have today. That's the practical gift. But there is that miraculous gift of the prophet that has ceased. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, again, another sign gift, another, diverse kinds of tongues. That's one of those gifts that has ceased. And I know there are many, many people today who believe they can speak in tongues. We'll talk about that in just a moment. They can't. The gift has ceased. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. By the way, no one ever tries to interpret tongues, if you notice, these days. There's no need for an interpretation. Easy to fake if no one can interpret. I'm not upset. Are y'all upset? Okay. I just have to give you the truth, because there's a lot of this stuff out there that's very confusing. And here's where we are. We go back to, what does the Bible say? That's just it. What does the Bible say? And so that's all the teaching you're going to ever get from me, hopefully, is what does the Bible say? All right, let's go down. So that's verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now drop down to verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, that, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments. That gift is also, we'll talk about it later, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you the more excellent way. Now, as Paul continues to write this letter in chapter 13 and 14, he really spends a good deal of time explaining the miraculous gifts and how they are to be used, and even when they are to be used. And we'll look at that in just a little bit. But before we do that, go back to Romans 12, and I'll show you the list of the list in Romans 12 is all practical gifts. And so these are gifts that we would have today. All these are practical. Romans chapter 12 and verse number, we'll start in verse number, well, actually, it starts in verse 6, but if you go back to verse 4, you start to gain the context of why God gave the gifts and why God gifts the church. Verse 4, so Romans 12, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. I mean, aren't you glad not all of us are pastors? That'd be a weird church to be in. I'm also glad that we're not all, here's the deal. Aren't you glad you got ears and eyes and a nose and a mouth and hands and feet and all the things that your body requires? That's what Paul's going to get into, is to say a church is like that. It needs every part. Okay, so many members, one body, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Verse 6, notice this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, so there's that practical gift of prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So he lists off. He says, we each have gifts differing according to the Spirit, and he lists them off. All right, so what are the spiritual gifts? Well, we just listed them all off for you there. But all these gifts are given to the believer at salvation. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to deal a little bit with the miraculous gifts, and then we're going to move on to the practical gifts. And really, the point of the lesson today is not to beat up on these miraculous gifts, but it is to let you know those were for a time and a place and for a purpose. And the Bible tells us that purpose has been fulfilled and those gifts have ceased. And so the miraculous gifts like healing, tongues, drinking poison and not hurting you, or getting bit by a venomous snake and it not injuring you, or having visions and prophecy, or discerning of spirits, or doing various other miracles, those are the miraculous gifts, and they are biblical. They are gifts that are given to certain people in certain times for a certain purpose. So the miraculous gifts, as we look at these, we want to figure out what is the purpose of these gifts. And there's a few ways you can do it. The Bible actually tells us the purpose for them, which I'll show you in a second. But I want you to think for a moment of the Bible characters who exercised spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts, okay? When we think of these miraculous gifts, something in us is like, well, pretty much everyone in the Bible did miracles, so shouldn't we? But if you start thinking about it, actually very few people in the Bible did miracles. Adam never did any miracles. Abraham is maybe, other than Moses or Elijah, Abraham is one of the main characters of the Old Testament. He never did a single miracle. Well, how is that? Let me ask you this. Was Abraham a prophet? You could say he was, but did he prophesy, thus saith the Lord? Did he write scripture? No. Okay. Did Adam? I mean, Adam, we assume he told his wife not to eat of that tree. Apparently, he didn't do a very good job. Adam's not called a prophet. He didn't write scripture. Noah preached for 120 years. Never did a miracle. Now, building a boat that could withstand the great flood, that might be considered a miracle. I don't know. It's only you and your three sons and all that. But no, he never did a miracle. Noah never did a miracle. Moses. Okay, now we got somebody who did some miracles. Turn to Exodus chapter 4. And I want to show you that when people do miracles, the Bible tells us why they did them. All right? Moses did miracles. Abraham didn't. Noah didn't. Adam didn't. But Moses did. Exodus 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." So let me give you the context. You should know it because I've preached through this recently. But the context is this. God is telling Moses, go to the people and prophesy, saying, thus saith the Lord. There's no written word yet. Moses ends up writing 5 books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. But at this point, there's no written word. So he is the prophet. He is the word of God, the mouthpiece that God uses. And he's going to go and say, thus saith the Lord. And he says, God, they're not going to believe me. I mean, anyone can go and say, thus saith the Lord. Anyone can go and say, I'm speaking God's word. They're not going to believe me. And the Lord said unto him, what is it in thine hand? Okay, remember the story? He had the rod. He said, throw the rod on the ground. The rod becomes a serpent. He runs from it as any wise person would. Then the Lord says, go back and take it up. Grab it by the tail. He grabs it. That's not a wise thing to do. But God says, go grab it by the tail. He grabs the snake by the tail. He becomes a rod again. He gives him that sign. And then he says, take your hand or put it in your bosom. And when you pull it out, it'll be leprous. You'll be a dead man walking. But then if you put it back in and bring it back out, it'll be, healed. And that's another sign I'm giving you. Then he says, if they don't hearken to the first 2 signs, go get some water and pour out on the land, and the water will become blood. Those miracles he gives to Moses. And notice what he says about them. Look down to verse number 9, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these 2 signs, neither hearken to thy voice, that thou shalt take water of the river, pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. He's saying this, it's an issue of, I'm going to confirm to those people you're speaking to that I am in fact God, and God is actually speaking through you. This is the purpose of miracles. This is the purpose of signs, is so that as a man is saying, thus saith the Lord, people will know this is in fact God speaking through this person. It's a confirmation of their prophecy. So Moses did miracles because he was a prophet. Think back, continue going through the Old Testament. We have someone like Elijah or Elisha. They did many miracles. Elijah did a bunch of miracles. Elisha did double the miracles that Elijah did. You know what they were saying all the time to Israel? Thus saith the Lord. They weren't giving them a completed Bible and saying, hey, go home and read your Bible. They were saying, you need to hear from God, and he's told me something to tell you, and I'm going to tell. And there were many prophets running around in those days, and most of them false prophets. And so how could they discern between the false prophets and the real ones? Well, Elisha could make an axe head swim. That's kind of crazy. I don't see anyone trying that one these days. To confirm the scripture, and also to confirm the prophecy. David, he wrote a lot of Psalms, but he wasn't saying, thus saith the Lord, and prophesying to Israel. Certainly he was reading some of the things that were already written, and he wrote a lot of scripture. but he never did a miracle. Then there's a bunch of people in the Old Testament that never did any miracles. You get down to the New Testament, you see Jesus, and what does he do? He starts doing lots of miracles. Miracles no one's ever seen before. And in Luke chapter, or actually, go to the book of John. John chapter number 2, again, with Jesus, it tells us why he did the miracles he did. Look to the book of John. John chapter 2. And look at verse number 11. Turns the water into wine there at the marriage of Cana. And then verse number 11 there, John 2, 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples, what's the word? Believed on him. So the Lord did miracles, again, to confirm not only that he was the Word of God and speaking the Word of God, but he was confirming, his was all a little different because he was doing messianic miracles. He was confirming that he was the Messiah to Israel. The apostles, they did miracles. I just got through reading that story where Paul is there with those barbarians and after the shipwreck, and he survived the shipwreck. And then that serpent comes out of the fire and bites him in the hand. And the guy sitting there said, well, he's cursed. He must be accursed because the snake bit him. But he shakes it off and he goes about his business and his hand never swells. Well, then they start thinking he's a god, you know. That's a cool miracle. I mean, I wish we could do that today. But guess what? If you get bit by a snake, you need to go to your nearest hospital. Okay. The apostles did miracles. They spoke in tongues. They healed the sick. There were people that just tried to get in the shadow of Peter. I mean, that just, like, they're sitting there lame, and they thought, man, if I could just get in his shadow, I'll be healed. No, I've never had anyone try to get in my shadow. But why? Well, look at Mark 16. Again, what does the Bible say? What does it tell us? Mark 16 tells us why they had the signs they had. Mark 16. Which, by the way, just as an aside, if you don't have a King James Bible, this probably isn't in your Bible. A lot of verses left out. Mark 16, look at verse 17. Verse number 16, actually. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So they're given, these apostles are given these signs. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming. Look what it says here. This is so important. And confirming the word with signs following. You see what this says? Confirm. What were those apostles all doing? What was Luke, John, Peter, eventually Paul, what were they all doing? They were writing the scripture. They were writing the word of God. And so God was confirming the word. There was no New Testament. You couldn't go and go to a church and say, now let's open to the book of Galatians and I'm going to preach to you a message. You couldn't do that. It wasn't written yet. Paul was writing it. So as he's writing it, he's doing these miracles and signs so that they would know this is God's word that he's writing. Those signs were there to confirm the word as they were speaking. So if you look into the Bible and you say, who did miracles? What you're going to find is the ones that did miracles were the ones that were prophesying new revelation from God and writing the scriptures. Period. Anyone in here receiving new revelation from God or writing the scriptures? I sure hope not, because you shouldn't be according to the scriptures. No. So again, we're not going to be given those types of gifts in this time period. In fact, look to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and just show you a verse here. And I didn't even plan on spending this much time with it, but you guys just dragged me down these paths and here we are. No, I want to be clear, because this is not clear outside of good Bible teaching churches. It's not clear. There's something in us that wants some like supernatural experience. And so there's a lot of things that are done for that purpose, but none of these sign gifts were ever done for to edify the one doing it. None of them were ever given as an assurance of salvation. You won't see that in the scriptures. These were given to people who were already saved, and they were using them to prove God's word to people who weren't. So, 1 Corinthians 13, look at what it says here, verse 8. Charity, love, never faileth. Never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, look what it says, they shall fail. You say, well, that's future tense. Yeah, Paul wrote it a couple thousand years ago, and it was future tense because they were still writing the scriptures and prophecies. 1 Corinthians was not his last book to write, right? He wrote, you know that because he wrote 2 Corinthians. But there's other books like the book of Timothy that come much later. So he's not done writing the scripture. So they haven't failed yet. But he says, no, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So the church at Corinth was experiencing some of these sign gifts because they're in this period of time where the Bible is still being inscribed. And to discern the good prophet from the non or from the false prophet, God's given these miracles. But he says it's going to come to an end. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part. Listen, look what it says, and we prophesy in part. They had a partially completed scripture. That's what they had. But he says, verse 10, but when that which is perfect, right here it is. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When will the gift cease? When that which is perfect is come. I believe, because the Bible tells me this, and I believe this book right here, from Genesis to Revelation, is the completed word of God. It's every word we need. It's every word we are ever going to get from God. This is it. When this book was completed, the sign gifts went away because there's no longer a need for them. The revelation is confirmed. So the Bible's complete. We don't need any sign gifts. So in the day in which we live today, there are no sign gifts, miraculous gifts. In fact, the next time in the scriptures when you see signs being done, is in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period. The two witnesses come, and yet again, they're going to start doing miracles, really similar to the miracles that Moses and Elijah did, by the way. They're going to start doing those miracles, and what does the Bible say they're doing in Revelation 11? They're prophesying. They're telling Israel, thus saith the Lord, I got a message for you. So these sign gifts are connected to prophecy. They're connected to new scripture. And since we have the completed word, it's just our job today to believe the word of God that we have. Okay. The other thing you can do, and we won't because I said I didn't want to take all the time to do it, and I already took way too much time, but you could go to Acts chapter 2 and you could look at, okay, what do these gifts look like in the Bible? So, for example, the gift of tongues. What does the gift of tongues look like? I've been to a service before I knew better, and I was saved, but I went with somebody that I was just went to a church with them, and they went to a church that spoke in tongues. And so they had this choir prayer time where, I mean, we're just sitting there, and all of a sudden everyone in there starts talking. And I mean, they're not making any sense. It's just gibberish. And I'm not making fun of them, but it is like goo goo, gaga, you know, just weird talking. And what they were doing is they're speaking in tongues, but there was no discernment of it. There was no interpretation. It was just I'm spiritual, I'm saved, so I can do this. Look at me. Well, go read 1 Corinthians 14, and you'll see that Paul scolds the church in Corinth for doing that very same thing. Because in Acts chapter 2, when Peter spoke in tongues, here's what he did. There were people in the room from multiple nationality, they're all Jewish, but there's Jews from all quarters, and they're all speaking various different dialects and languages. And so he's got a room full. Just imagine in the room today that we had some people that only spoke Spanish, and we had some people that only spoke Italian, and we had some people that only spoke Russian, and we had some people that only spoke Texan, and we had some people that, you know, let's just imagine we had a group of people, and everyone spoke a different language, but there's just one preacher. Here's what speaking, and here's what Peter did. This is a miracle no one's doing on earth today. He began to move his lips, and everyone in there heard. Go read Acts 2. This is what it says. They heard him speak in their language. That's the gift of tongues. If I could sit here and say, hola, do y'all know what that means? I know you do. Hello. If I could say hello, and a Spanish-speaking person hears hola, and that's the extent of my language knowledge. I just realized. If a Hawaiian person heard aloha, you know, whatever. I need to be better versed in languages, apparently. I don't even know hello. Just give them the old. No, if everyone heard, it's not like Peter said, now, okay, I got Spanish church at 2, and over here at 3, we're going to have German church, and at 4, no, he got up and he started preaching. Everyone just heard their language. That is a miracle, and that's a miracle no one's doing today. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul goes on to say, if there's no interpreter, then it's all in vain. If there's no ear understanding what you're saying, why are you saying it? He said, I'd rather speak one word in a known tongue. He's like, I'd rather just preach to you something that you would understand than to speak hundreds of words in an unknown tongue, because it profits nobody anything. There's no purpose in it. The only purpose in that would be, look at me, which is never, ever in the Bible. So again, the sign gifts are historically, they're not for this time. We don't need them in this time because the Bible is complete. And the ones that are doing them today are not doing them in accordance with the scriptures. It's not the same thing. So now, can we move on from those? All right, let's go to the practical gifts. Practical gifts, you're like, we could have moved on a long time ago. Let me give you the blank. The purpose of the miraculous gifts was to confirm new revelation. And by the way, let me say this. Those gifts were just as real as the practical gifts. I mean, I wish I could have been there on the day of Pentecost and heard Peter speak in tongues. So, I mean, amazing. It'd be really cool to see someone get bit by a snake, as long as it's not me. Drinking poison and not dying. I don't know why you try it, but hey, look what Peter can do. I don't know. They were real gifts. They're just not for our time. Okay, so then the practical gifts. And we read through the list in Romans, and there's some mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14. The gifts like this, prophecy, okay? This is the preaching and the declaration of the Scripture. So as a pastor, I'm not ever going to get in the pulpit and say, listen, you won't need your Bibles today because God's given me a special word. You'll never hear me do that. If I do that, please ask me to resign that day. I'm serious. If I go crazy and do something like that, please ask me to resign. You need a different pastor. No, the gift of the prophecy, which you need if you're a pastor, is to open up God's word. God gives you understanding of the word, and then you're able to speak it. It's just a declaration of the completed word of God. It's preaching. Okay, then we have the gift of knowledge. It's linked with prophecy and teaching and wisdom, but it's the ability to really understand. And you know people, there's people in your life that you know, you're like, they must have the gift of knowledge because they tend to understand stuff in the Bible. They're the one I go to with the questions, and they seem to always have an answer. There's a gift of knowledge. The gift of wisdom is that being able to apply the knowledge. You know, there's a lot of people with a lot of knowledge that aren't very street smart. They don't know how to apply it. And they're like a walking encyclopedia, but they don't know how to order food in a drive-thru, you know, that kind of a person. And so there's people that have wisdom. They know how to apply knowledge, and they know maybe how to make good decisions. Like Solomon is going to be our example for wisdom. They know how to make good decisions and use God's word to come to the correct decision. Then there's the teacher. God supernaturally gifted some to be able to teach his word. The gift of exhortation. Did you know there's people that are just always an encouragement? You think that's a mistake? That's a gift from the Lord. By the way, when you find out you don't have one of these gifts, it's like, oh, I must not be very encouraging. You'll find out which ones I have by the time we get done, I'm sure. Gift of leadership, the gift of helps. There's some people that would rather clean the church and stack chairs and mop the floor and clean up after VBS. They don't want to be in the spotlight. It would just scare them to death, but they'll work all week with no one watching. Gift of helps, ministry. Very important ministry, by the way. The gift of giving. Whew, good, I'm not gifted in giving. I don't have to give. Hold on. We're going to preach it. But there are people who will live at a lower standard of living so that they can give more. And I'm telling you, that's a gift. Or they'll say, if God needs it, I'll give it, even if it's way above and beyond everything else I'm giving. That's a gift. That's a gift. The gift of mercy, faith, discernment. These are all the practical gifts. So we're not going to get into them today. But notice this, the purpose of the practical gifts, they're given to us to aid us in fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. So we can look at a couple of places. For sake of time, let's just look at one. Look at Ephesians 4. And then I think 1 Peter 4, 9, and 10 is written in your notes. If you will look that up on your own time, that's another good place to see where these practical gifts are used. But Ephesians 4, and look at verse number 11. Tells us why we have these gifts. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What's the reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you're not using your gifts to be a blessing to the people in this church, you're not using your gifts properly. That's why God gave them. So that you could help to perfect the saint, help to bring the saints along, and help to encourage one another to growth and maturity for the work of the ministry, so that this work at Central Baptist Church and other local churches can go on. He's given us gifts, and for the edifying, the building up. How are we going to build the body of Christ here? Can I tell you, it won't be just through one guy preaching. It's going to be from a church load of people that say, God's gifted me, and I'm going to use my gifts to serve him here. God can build a congregation that way, both spiritually and in number. So we'll talk about these. I didn't spend a lot of time on the practicals today because we're going to take a week and go through each one of them. But when we serve within the realm of our spiritual gift, the result will be fruit, because God will bless us in that. The result will be joy, because we enjoy doing the things God's gifted us to do. You know, for whatever reason, God's given me some ability to work with my hands. I'm telling you, I love nothing more than going, I can go out back and sand a board for 2 hours. You're like, that seems boring. I like it. He's made me that way. It's just something, and it's not a spiritual gift. So if I serve in an area that I enjoy, by the way, I enjoy preaching. He's gifted me that way. I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm just saying that's what he's gifted me that way. I enjoy it. It's fulfilling to preach, because that's what he's called me to do. Once you find out, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do, and you do it, it's fulfilling. You find joy in it. You find satisfaction. Is every day great? No. Welcome to life. All right. Let me give you a little example. Okay, imagine you're at a dinner party. Okay, you're enjoying fellowship with some friends. Maybe it's the send-off dessert fellowship later today. It's come to the end of the meal, and everyone's waiting anxiously on dessert. And so, lady comes through the doorway with dessert. She steps on a toy fire truck that some kids left in the way, and she slips, and the dessert goes in the air and flips and falls to the ground. Everyone sitting there waiting to eat dessert watches it splat. How you respond to that situation may say something about how you're gifted. The prophet says, now that's what happens when you're not careful. People should teach their kids not to leave their toys in the middle of the hall. And people should watch where they're walking. That's what the prophet says. The helper, ignoring the prophet, is already in the floor starting to wipe up the mess and pick up the plate. The teacher says, well, what happened is the cake was in her way. She couldn't see the fire truck. And so it's just an honest mistake, but I understand how it might happen. The exhorter is picking her up off the ground and says, it's okay, we can learn from this. Jimmy, you got to put your fire truck up. I mean, you go play in another area. Helps her to her feet. The giver's already on the phone ordering another dessert. Because he can solve that problem. The administrator, he says, Bob, get a mop. Bill, check on the server. Make sure she's okay. I'm going to call the ambulance. Jill, you might want to help him with the dessert. I'll call the carpet cleaner. He's administrating. Now, you just think, it's silly, right? Why are people the way they are? Why is it if something drops on the floor, you have all those people in the room? There are going to be a couple people cleaning it up. There are going to be a couple people consoling the child. There are going to be a couple people that are picking up the lady and saying, are you okay? There's going to be someone over there judging the whole thing and going, this should have never happened. And can you see how the one cleaning up the mess gets a little bit irritated with the one saying this should have never happened? It's because we're gifted differently. So we're going to have fun as we learn these gifts. I'm going to try to show you how differently gifted people interact differently with other. And it's going to explain some things. You're going to be like, oh, that's why I don't like him. No, I'm just kidding. I was talking about me, by the way. So as we go through this study, I just ask you to pray, God, reveal to me what my gifts are. So that I can serve you better. So I'm excited to go through it with you. We're going to stop there. I've gone way longer than I thought. Appreciate your attentiveness. And let's dismiss in prayer. Father,